to Mr. Chuck Gomez now joins. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Oh, well.
I'm not sure that worked or not. They said hit star zero to start the recording, and he acts like I'm just getting on. So maybe I'd better...
Sorry, sir, the recordings have started.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so it did work. Very good. All right. Get the agenda in front of me here. Okay, so we've got Lau and Aubrey, myself, and Adrian are all on, and Glenn's with us, and Olaf's with us, so if the others get on, good. I think everybody understands our purpose here. There was a working group that developed a draft statement in response to the CCNSO GAC issues paper and IDN CCTLDs. That was completed quite a while ago, several months ago, by that group. And since then, there have been some modifications to it based on input from the council. In particular, on Saturday in Los Angeles, we made some changes. Well, Saturday, the council talked about it, and then a subgroup got together and made some revisions to the executive summary, and I think there's been a few little minor edits since then. So I sent around the latest version of that, which I think is has a 28 October date. Version 3 is the right one that everybody should have. Is there anybody who does not have that version? And there are just a few highlighted items in that. The items that were highlighted were the very latest changes that occurred in the draft. Okay, then, the next. So our task, then, is to go through that and see what other revisions might be necessary, and I think there will be some others that are needed now that there's been more discussion. Yes, question.
Would you mind sending me the copy of that draft, please?
Okay.
There.
Yeah, Bilal. Okay, I had resent it to you, and you're not getting it, huh? I will do that.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'm not going to put any text in my message, but let me get to that right now. And it was sent also to the list, and you didn't get either one. I wonder what's going on there.
It could be our mail server here. Just acting up.
Okay, I will try again. No, wrong one. Okay. Okay, I just clicked send again. So let's see if that works.
And do likewise for good measure. To see if the...
Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, that's a good idea, Olaf.
Chuck, this is it's Adrian. It's the 28th of October version, yeah?
Yeah, version 3, yeah. That's the one. And actually, version 3 isn't too much different than other 28 October. There were three that I had that were 28 October. That was the most recent. I just got a reject from... But I don't think it's related to this. Okay. So
I got it. Got it. Thank you.
Got it. Okay, good.
Okay.
Good. Okay, that's great. So as far as the agenda, I sent one out last night, my time. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at that. Any changes to that? Is anybody not comfortable with the agenda as is? Okay, then I will proceed. As far as a work plan, I think the first step that we need to do, and we can talk about this if it's necessary, is to basically identify what areas of the document may need further work. Once we do that, and we'll come back to that in our agenda here, we need to decide how we're going to accomplish that task of ultimately revising those sections that we identify. and I proposed some ideas. Please don't limit the ideas to what I suggested, and also it's important to recognize the ones that I mention and any you may come up with that are different. Don't need to be mutually exclusive. In many cases, we could combine them. So some of the approaches that I had listed, and I want everybody's input on this, is we could actually work through the issues together as one group. That probably is a little bit more challenging in terms of scheduling, especially to the extent that we have to schedule teleconference calls. We could enlist volunteers to serve, one volunteer for each issue to take the lead on it and maybe come up with a draft revision and send it to the group for review. We could form subgroups of two or three people to work on each area, understanding that there'll probably be, each of us will be on, even if we divide it up among us for primary responsibility or initial responsibility, we probably still would have to do, each one would have to do multiple areas. Email list discussion, I hope, is certainly something we can use to minimize the teleconference calls. I think we will need additional teleconference calls. We'll talk a little bit later maybe about how to plan those. Anybody have other ideas in terms of how we could proceed on this?
I have one. This is Aubrey. I have one possibility.
Okay.
I started it but didn't finish it in time for this meeting. But I put a copy of the current document in one of those docs, online docs things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that struck me as, in addition, a possible way where we could have this document that we could all share online. We could start initially by all adding sort of comments to each other's comments and so on, and sort of get it going then. And then possibly even try to use something like that for suggesting language changes, et cetera. Coming every once in a while, yeah, we would have to sort of stop and have it be aggregated and talk, but it might be an additional tool as opposed to just email lists and others. So I'm not suggesting that that is an only tool, but I'm wondering whether that might be a useful tool.
Yeah.
So people know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Anybody not know what Aubrey is referring to?
Dr. Sajan, can I comment on that when you get a sec?
Go ahead.
Avery, I think it's a great idea, and having a dynamic document that everybody can see, and also, so long as it's checked out, I'm not sure whether this software checks out the document, or at least indicates someone's working on it at the moment, because that can always be a little ugly. But outside of that, the only comment I would make is about when potentially moving to a consolidated version is that you keep the commented version, because it always helps us to later on when we're presenting it potentially to the rest of the council, that when they want to make a comment as to why wording is like it is, it's easy to refer back to the original comments that that we've had as to why we made those changes. So I would think that keeping a version of that document with comments in it is handy, but I certainly think it's valuable to do it that way.
Okay, yes, the tool that I've been using to fair success lately is the Docs in Google.
Yeah.
And that one keeps copies like every 15, 20 seconds. You get to save particular actions. Multiple people can actually be working on it at the same time, and then you do catch-ups. Now, I haven't seen how it works. I'm not totally experienced with the three people were editing at exactly the same moment, how it renders everybody's different edits, but it seems to be doing it fairly competently from the exercises I've done so far.
Now, how does it work if multiple people can work on it at the same time?
We may want to try a quick experiment at some point just to see, but all the work I've done with it so far, it basically just collects these different versions and maps who's done what and what version.
Mm-hmm.
But it saves, Chuck, I think that the and I'm not 100% sure, and now that you said Google, Avery, I, I've got a bit of a recollection, but I think what it does, because you're actually logged in and online, and because it's obviously online, it's monitoring what you're doing every move. So as opposed to a document that sits on your desktop and then gets saved back to a certain area, this is will indicate to you as someone logs in to start adjusting and changing the document, and you'll see those changes as they happen.
Oh, okay. So if more than one person is working at the same time, you would see each other's changes.
Yeah, I that's what I believe it works, and that's why I think it's a good tool.
Okay. Well, and that would, okay, so that would really facilitate online working. And so the if somebody at a later point in time goes in to work on a document, they would see the latest version.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And I think also for these calls, Chuck, that if we wanted to make some changes on the fly or go through the document, I think you could even look at, everyone could be logged in and looking at the version that you're looking at, and you would see the changes as you made them.
Yes, okay. That's for sure.
Now, that sounds like a really good approach. Anybody think differently? Then, you know, it'd be good to Aubrey, if you could, or maybe
right,
Glenn already has them, send everything around to this group.
Right, I've got it set up. But since I was still just adding my comments, I didn't bother to, and I didn't want to do it until we had spoken in the meeting. I will send everyone an invitation to be an editor on the version that I've got up at the moment.
Okay.
And
instructions
then,
how to use it for those who don't know.
Sure. It's pretty straightforward, but yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever. I mean, just whatever.
Right. And certainly I'll respond to any questions. Yeah.
Okay. Chuck, I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Adrian.
Just to sort of backtrack on the comments you were making before, I believe everybody should be involved. It's not a big document by way of a long document as such, and I think my opinion would be to allow anyone to comment on any part of the document because there are threads and themes throughout, and I think if you isolate certain areas, potentially you may have different voices throughout the document.
Yeah, of course, ultimately that's what we'd end up doing anyway, even if we divvied up responsibilities, but that's fine. Anybody disagree with that approach? So there's agreement on those of us on the call today that we would work together as a group. Okay.
Can I check?
Yes.
This is Olga.
Oh, hi, Olga. Welcome.
Yes, I just jumped in 10 minutes ago. I think that the idea that Aubrey presented is great. I think that we should work as a group, but perhaps in a moment in the near future, we could revise all our comments and perhaps we decide to work in groups. Not in the first moment, but after a while. Could you clarify to me which is the time frame for doing this work?
Well, that's going to be up to us. I don't think we want to drag it out too long, but that's on the agenda for later to actually talk about a time frame for getting this done. So we'll actually come back to that. No deadline has been set by the council. Aubrey, you want to comment on that, and then we'll come back to the details later?
I don't have much to add to that. We don't have a deadline. I mean, you have certainly made very good arguments for the fact that we should, you know, get this completed as quickly as we can at this point. I think given the work that's starting with the IDNC, with the fact that we need to have a clear GNSO position on these things, that it's probably good that we get it done, you know, as soon as we reasonably can, but we should take sufficient care with it. But at this point, I think that, you know, while I was in favor of waiting until after this last meeting to see what else developed that would affect our perceptions, at this point, I think it's time to get our stake in the ground.
And the IDNC group that is being formed, this document will probably be a key basis for our representatives on that group in terms of the GNSO position and so forth. So that's probably the most pressing issue right now, and I with the short time frame that the CCNSO is established, I think that we're going to want to get this done as quickly as possible. And we'll talk specifics on that later on the agenda.
Excuse me, Chuck?
Mm-hmm.
I've already uploaded the document that you just sent me, the CCNSO GAC issue paper, on the Google Documents. You have access to it. Avery and Olaf already are in the group, so you can actually see it there.
Oh, okay. Good. All right.
Oh, okay. So the one I'm working on, I should forget about because we've already got another one. Okay.
Well, and, you know, I actually went through the whole document and already inserted a bunch of comments and possible edits and so forth.
If we
do it again,
John.
What's that?
Looks like you got to do it again.
Okay, so I should, you know, Bilal, the one that you entered there, it was just a basic document, right?
No, the one I've got is a red line document, but on Google Documents, it doesn't show the red line remarks.
Right, yeah. What I was doing was I was moving those off to the side so they could be seen separately. But okay, I guess when we receive your invitation, we can join and start modifying. I was just about to send the invitations out on the one I had, but okay.
Now, how does the Google Documents show red lines, or does it?
That's the question I was going to ask Aubrey, if it shows red line remarks. I'm not sure.
I don't believe, let me see.
So how do we keep track? That makes it very difficult going forward to know what people have done.
That could be a deal breaker.
Yeah, it really could. Otherwise, it becomes so time-consuming to try and figure out what was done.
What you could do is highlight the comments that you answer, and we should agree on each one using a.
That was the practice that I was in the process of typing in. That you basically put your comments in brackets. I haven't checked to see whether there's a way to actually. It changes the document live. So what I had been doing, as opposed to editing the document itself, had been adding my comments in brackets underneath them and then initializing it.
Well, that would work. Now, ultimately, we're probably going to get to a point where we need to have a call to go through those, but that would be a good way to get a reasonable start on it.
And what we could have was basically one sort of editor who was putting in these changes and having the rest of us always able to see it and comment. And so one person actually holding the pen on so-called official text while everyone else was just adding comments to the document.
And we could probably, at whatever point we decide, initiate that. In the meantime, just get a lot of good interaction going with people's comments. And then once we get to a point maybe where we hold a teleconference call, going through these and making a decision at that point, it would be very important to have identify an editor. Does that make sense? Silence, I assume it does. I'm not necessarily convinced that it does, but okay. If you think otherwise, please speak up. So we will... need to put comments and edits in brackets with initials, right?
Thanks. Chuck, I think also that if this goes south very quickly within a week, we could always change tack and go back to the conventional method of sending around a sole document or something.
Sure, sure. But I think it's a good thing to try right now. Anybody disagree?
I think it's well worth running up a flagpole, that's for sure.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. Any other discussion on how to proceed? Okay. All right, so we will go ahead and proceed on that. Now, let's talk about the time frame.
Before you start on the time frame, well, I think could everybody send me their email so I can add them to the... invite them to that, because I don't have everybody's email. I have yours and I have Aubrey's, but the new members I don't have.
Okay, I'll do that, Bilal. I'll do that. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
So I should just kill the copy that I've been working on, right? Is that what we've decided?
Yeah.
I already had in Google Docs, and I should just kill that one. Okay.
All right.
Because I guess I should have sent people addresses earlier. Okay, never mind.
Have you done a lot of work on it, Avery?
I've done some, but that's okay. I can just cut and paste it into the new one.
Yeah,
as opposed to sending out invitations to this particular document, Bilal can send out invitations to the one he's put up, and yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that, Aubrey. Yeah, I'm going to have to do the same thing, but I can cut and paste, so.
Yeah, I can cut and paste.
I may start another document in Google Docs in about half an hour just to get everyone to send us to that one as well.
Oh, okay, that's good, yeah.
You were being facetious, is that right?
Yes, Chuck.
I just wanted to clarify that. Make sure everybody caught that.
Maybe in Dubai, but I'm still an Australian, Chuck.
Okay. Anything else then on the approach going forward here?
The other thing people can do to make life easier is, you know, You can color stuff that you write too. So if people have different colors, it just makes it obvious.
Mm.
It's a way of doing it. So I had started coloring mine with some awful shade of pink purple, because I like that color. But that's the other thing we can do while we're working is we can work in different colors. You can either work a different color font, or you can work in different color highlighting.
Okay, good.
So if people pick colors. And I'll add notes to that kind of suggestion at the top of Bilal's document when I've gotten access to it.
All righty, good. Okay.
Sounds a little Reservoir Dogs with Mr. Orange, Mr. Pink, Mr. Brown.
Exactly. His pink, please. Yes, but yes.
And it sounds like Aubrey's got dibs on a color already.
You bet.
Okay. Let's then jump to talking about time frame. Probably one of the questions we should talk about are we going to be able to proceed with this over the month of December with holidays and so forth, or do we need to take a break?
I'm Jewish. I don't care.
Okay.
I will be available in December, perhaps not in 2 weeks of January, but I will be available almost all the time.
Okay.
Maybe a break will be a good idea.
And what time of a break? What dates?
Last week of December, between the 20th and the 27th, I guess.
20th and 27th. And should we extend that over New Year's, or does that matter?
I think 20th to at least like the 4th or something.
What others think?
Yeah, I'll go with Adrian.
And by the way, that doesn't mean that you can't do something on the online facility during that period, but we certainly wouldn't schedule any teleconferences during then. So 20 December to 4 January? Okay, is that all right? I'll put no teleconferences then. Okay. All right. Now, in terms of target, we may not be able. We don't have to firm up a completion date today. That wasn't my intent because I think once we get into it, we'll have a better feel. We should. Whatever we do, try to finish as soon as possible. So that should be the guiding motivation. But in my opinion, I think it would be good if we can, as at the outside, make sure we complete this in no more than 2 months. Earlier would be better, but I'll just put that on the table. That would be an outside target that we would try and beat. But is that reasonable?
Yeah.
When
did you say we'd be taking a break?
20 December to 4 January.
Okay, I think it'd be really cool if we could be at a rough draft of where we were going before that break. Just to be pushy on schedule.
Okay, that's a good milestone. So a rough draft before 20 December, and then completion of recommendations of the council not later than 3 February. Is that?
Yeah, so that's basically essentially 2 weeks after we come back from the break.
No, that would be less. That'd be more than 2 weeks. So maybe we ought to make it. I think you're right. We probably ought to make it 2 weeks after, not later than so forth. So if we add, that'd be the 18th of January. I'm not looking at a calendar to see what day of the week that is. That doesn't matter too much, I don't think. We can always adjust that. So not later than 18 January.
18th is a Friday, Chuck.
Okay, that's good. That's probably a good day. So.
Chuck, can I say something here?
Yes, please.
I guess with respect to timelines, and I must apologize, I was not at ICANN on the Saturday, and I've only sort of got this document as the basis of this, but how significant is the shift going to be that we're working on? And I'm talking about this, you know, pertinent to timelines, obviously. You know, how much work do we think this is going to be? Because that, you know, that may influence how much time we need to give ourselves. Is there a general feeling that there needs to be a hell of a lot of work done, a medium amount of work done, or just a little, you know, bit of wordsmithing? Where are we at?
I think it's medium, but I think the dates we're talking about are realistic. What do others think?
I agree with Chuck. Yes.
As I went through it pretty thoroughly last week in preparing for this, I think it's, the key point is to be able to, where it will take more time is this, if we're not in agreement. And so far I haven't detected that we're going to have a lot of trouble reaching consensus. There may be one or two items like that. I think it's more just refining and maybe saying some things that weren't said in the first version.
Well, great. That sets the scene nicely. And having said that, I think that the timelines you've allowed for are adequate.
Okay. Any other comments on that? Okay, that's great. Thanks for the input on that. Now, how many have been able to, or maybe I should ask it this way, has anyone not been able to go through the draft document thoroughly again yet?
I haven't.
Okay. So it's really important to do that as soon as you can. And then now that we're using this other method of using the Google Docs, the sooner people can get their comments in, the better. And I'll try and get mine in maybe today, if not by tomorrow, I should be able to do it.
I just got Bilal's invitation to join the thing, and thanks, Bilal, for sending that.
Okay.
So. Chuck and Avery, can I ask a sort of a positioning question, please?
Yes.
I'm having read the document, and I don't know whether, Chuck, I've just looked through the agenda and just to see where this question will fit in. Hopefully I'm doing it in the right spot. Are you able to give us a broad GNSO statement, if you will, and I know the executive summary does to a degree, but I really want to understand, maybe you can answer better if I ask you these questions. Number one, are we pissed off, excuse my language, are we upset with the CCNSO or the GAC, number one. Number two, how can I phrase this the right way? Maybe I'll leave it to you to say. I won't put words in your mouth. Maybe I'll just leave it and say, can you please give me a positioning statement of, in general, our position with this? I know I'm being vague, but does that help?
I think I know what you're asking. I think maybe the best way to respond to you is for each one of us to respond to what you're asking, and I'll start it off.
That would be great. Thank you.
My own personal opinion is I'm not upset with the GAC or the CCNSO. I think this is a legitimate issue, a very important issue that needs to be resolved. It overlaps with GNSO work tremendously, and that's where we need to very carefully establish our position so that whatever they end up doing doesn't negatively impact the GNSO space, and there is the risk for that. I for one, think that if there was one theme that I would support adopting in the GNSO position that would override everything, and in fact you'll see this in the draft document quite a bit, and that is that user experience is really important, whether it be in the CC world or the GNSO world, and that should kind of be an overriding factor as we go through this thing, that we make sure we don't create situations that are going to create a bad user experience, whether that mean that disputes get more complicated or user confusion or whatever that may mean. So that's kind of my personal response. Adrian, let me let someone else respond.
Should I take a go at it, Aubrey?
Go, Aubrey.
Okay. I think I've been trained into already too much diplomacy to say that I'm pissed off.
If you are, though, you can tell this group.
Extremely wary and extremely nervous about some of the changes that I see in the definition. And that was the email that I sent to the council of, you know, do we see it as Philip fairly accurately, I thought, outlined it, that there is domain name space and all except the defined two-character CCTLDs are part of GNSO's remit, and anything outside of that requires a redefinition of the remit, which I think the GNSO has indicated a willingness to do. But the redefinition that's coming out of this particular effort and some board members that I've been talking to is that no, potential domain namespace does not belong to either the GNSO or the CCNSO. It's when a name is defined. If it's defined by a CCTLD type, then it goes into CCNSO space. If it's defined by GTLD process or GNSO processes, then it goes into GNSO space. I find that very worrisome because it changes the whole constraint of what we're dealing with. I understand what Chuck is saying about user experience, but that's one of those relativistic things that scares me almost as much as defining things based on morality, because a country, a group can define user experience to mean that they need 25 CCTLDs, one in every possible script, and in fact several for every variant of the name that is in common use in the United States. I mean, in common use in their country, and I use the United States as an example, of USA, United States of America, United States, U.S., land of the home and the free, etc., that all those things are our national name. Therefore, we should have those in all the scripts of anyone that anyone might use in this country. And that becomes important for our national user experience. So I'm wary of user experience as a criteria, and I'm very nervous about this. The last thing is, I don't know that we have a GNSO position, and that's why I asked the question that I did in that, and hope that we talk about it some in the meeting, because that's just my personal view that this is a scary thing.
Now, one of the things I think, I want to go back to your first main point there, Aubrey, and that is the idea of what fits into the GNSO space and the CCNSO space, and at present only the ISO 3166-1 two-letter country code names are in the CCNSO space. It's really important, in my opinion, that everybody fully grasp the significance and the meaning of that. Is there anybody that's not clear on the importance of that? Because I think that's something that's really not in the statement right now that needs to be added. And it's fundamental to the issues involving the GNSO and the CCNSO on this. So, is there anybody that feels like you don't have a grasp of what Aubrey said with, in that regard.
This is Edmund. I just joined.
Thanks, Edmund.
I didn't quite get it. Could you very shortly just highlight what was said? I think I can pick it up pretty quickly.
Aubrey, you said it better than I can say.
Okay.
So.
Basically, there's two ways to look at the unused namespace. In one way is the traditional way I think we had in ICANN, which is namespace is in the GNSO's remit except for that part of it, the 316s-1, two characters that it was assigned to the CCNSO's remit. There's a second way of looking at the namespace that's been developing over the last couple weeks and that the IDNC proposal fits squarely in, and that's that unused namespace is not yet in anyone's remit, and it only comes into your remit when a name is assigned. If that name is assigned to a GTLD or is applied for even by a GTLD, then it becomes GNSO's remit and GNSO's policy. If, however, it's a CCTLD or perhaps a nation applying for that name, then it is not in the GNSO's remit, and it's, as it's only a potential name, it then would fall into the CCNSO's remit. So this the IDNC exercise, if one looks at it, makes a presupposition that they are not reapportioning namespace away from the GNSO to the CCTLD, but rather they are taking a portion of unused namespace and claiming it as their own. So the fine difference is it a reapportionment, or is it just a first apportionment of something that's only potential but not yet actual?
And one of the things that we need to keep in mind that is really critical here, in my opinion, is that all the players, the providers in the GNSO space have, and I'm talking registries and registrars, have relatively heavy agreements with ICANN and are required to follow those agreements. It's much more restrictive in terms of how they function. At the same time, they're competing with players on the CC side that have virtually no agreements, almost no requirements that they have to follow, and so that's a real critical GNSO issue. Did that make sense?
Yeah, Chuck, it's Adrian. Can I comment, please?
Yes.
I understand. I'm just kind of to grapple, and maybe because I get a bit of an insight with what I do in my day-to-day life, maybe I see things a little differently whilst obviously respecting my position within the GNSO. Am I getting this right that if, for example, Qatar got the equivalent let's use UAE. So they got dot Emirates in Arabic script, and then someone applied for a TLD with United Arab Emirates in Arabic script. That what you're saying is that's because of the separation that Avery's pointing to, if I'm understanding correctly, that would not be a CC issue.
Well, I don't think we know the answer to that, but that's
yeah.
Something that we need to figure out how we're going to come up with an answer.
Right.
Because I think that speaks to the core of where Avery's coming from, because I think that's the concern of the CCTLDs, or the CCNSO rather, is that having some sort of say in names at the TLD level in new TLDs that cross over. And that's why I'm trying to get, this will help shape my response to the document by getting a better understanding of the council here.
Right. Well, as I said, we don't have the council yet, but I think it extends beyond that. I think it, one, is at the moment within the GNSO response, the new GTLD policy, they would certainly have a cause to object to that being assigned to someone. But by the other token, it sort of says that from the start, they can't claim any name that has the word Emirates in it because, well, that's their national identity.
Emirates Airlines might have something to say, for example.
Exactly. and so, but they could say, but no, Emirates is what we call ourselves, and we want Emirates not only in Arabic script, but we want it in every other script to protect our, you know, national identity. So I don't think, so yes, the space is fuzzy between, that's why we put in the objection process that allows them to say, you can't take United Emirates, you know, in Arabic script, even though we haven't taken it yet. But, you know, and we object, and there's an objection process. But by the same token, we want to make sure that it's not possible for, you know, them to sort of take any name in any script that has the word Emirates in it. And if we don't constrain things somehow, that becomes an open possibility.
Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying, and maybe that's, so that'll help me when writing the when reviewing the document here to say that potentially, excuse me, we need to be highlighting the features, if you like, of the recommendations as they are, to give them the comfort that they require. Am I correct?
Yes. Well, again, you know, whether we're going to be able to give them the comfort they desire or not remains to be seen. Kind of depends what they what it takes to make them comfortable, because I don't think we want to create disadvantages in the GTLD space just to make them comfortable. Now, hopefully we can come up with a position that both sides are comfortable with, but we'll have to see as we move forward. Now, I want to come back to one thing Aubrey mentioned. Again, it's very important that everybody on this group understand this. The new GTLD recommendations, which are designed to work for IDN TLDs and ASCII GTLDs, clearly the recommendation is not to reserve geographical identifiers. Okay? And as Aubrey said, there's a dispute process that allows a community to challenge a use of a geographical name, but there's the recommendation is that there not be any reserved names for geographical identifiers. So it's very important that everybody understands that, because that is one decision the council has already made.
Right. And if I can add one thing, the IDNC here is not going to make a decision on, you know, they're trying to stick to the one name, one script, one country. They'll have difficulty doing that because of India and other claims, but they're trying to stick to that. What was a more important consideration to me was the equality of representation, because without equality of representation on this, the presumption of, well, this is a problem we all have to solve in terms of the namespace, becomes this is CCNSL GATT namespace, and we'll talk about how we allot that, and you guys get to advise and liaise, but not actually to be an equal part of how namespace is apportioned.
Okay, now let me come back to Edmund. Edmund, did you get the clarity that you needed?
Yes, I'm sorry, I apologize for joining late, actually. I got my calendar set up wrong. I got the point, and actually on that last point, I think it's actually quite important as well. I agree with Avery that we should figure out a position. And I remember quite clearly when we brought the discussion up in the GAC joint meeting. I remember maybe it was from the Bulgarian GAC representative that made it very adamant that, they want to carve out a space in the IDN TLD space that is GAC, CC, TLD, or CCNSO specific, and which we should not touch, kind of thing.
Thanks, Edwin. Okay, let's go again, going on to others in response to Adrian's question that Aubrey and I have responded to. Who else would like to respond to that?
This is Olga Chuck.
Go ahead, Olga.
Yeah, I have the same concerns that you, Chuck, and Aubrey has been mentioning. I think it's a very challenging process, as it includes interest rising by the DACs, by the CCNSO, and some issues are in the responsibilities of the GNSO. So this is my biggest concern. That's why I was interested in working with the group, because I want to really understand and get involved with this But what worries me the most is to put this in a understandable frame for everyone, for the country, for the CCTLDs, and also for the general community of internet. So if the country claims 25 or 30 different scripts, it's that correct. It's fine if one requests 3 or 4, which is the frame to give a quite nice answer to everyone and make the things work. And also what worries me a lot is security. Do we know how many scripts can we finally define to be allowed and to have a secure and safe internet? Do we have this input from the Security and Stability Committee?
This issue, of course, has been debated for years now with regard to how many TLDs can be put into the root. I think it's accurate to say that it's a pretty high number. Okay. Well, now the some people in the technical community are being conservative and not wanting to say it's unlimited, and it may not be unlimited, but it's a large enough number that I think within the GNSO we're not concerned about that number right now. Now that could change, but as far as the technical issues of the number of names added to the root, I believe it's pretty well established that it's a fairly large number. Now,
yes.
Somebody else comment on that, please.
Yeah, I think that most people have determined that we'll reach an operational limit of what ICANN can handle long before we'll reach, you know, the technical limit. I mean, people know that name servers can handle, oh, how much does .com handle? Whether the numbers in 6 figures, 7 figures, or 8 figures is debatable, but you know, that it's in those levels of magnitude that we talk about. If there is a concern, you know, obviously there's upgraded of equipment and all kinds of stuff like that, but that the technical limitations are far, far further away than the operational limitations.
Did that make sense, Olga?
Yes, it makes sense, but my concern is still to try to establish a logic number for each interested part. That's a thing that comes to my mind. If it's a huge number, then how many for each country, how many for different scripts in GCC space, in G space?
Yeah.
I think that's something that we should work on, because if not, it's like there's no limit, and how I think that there may be many disputes and problems with number, with names and scripts. And as there are many scripts, many languages, that can be really a lot of information going around. That's my concern.
Now, I don't think it's the remit of this group or even this paper that we're working on to deal with the maximum number of TLDs
okay.
that can be added to the root. If we start getting off on that direction, which is one that nobody's ever been able to assign a definitive answer to for years, it'll distract us, I believe, from the task at hand.
Chuck, can I make my comments?
Go ahead.
If I may, I'm coming from the perspective that, hearing what Avery said, I certainly agree. I think that there is space for both entities to coexist, but you know, I think that the CCNSO needs to get their act together, and I think that they certainly do have a jurisdiction, if I can use that word, over a set, but you know, it's about agreeing upon what that set is and getting an understanding of that and ensuring that it doesn't infringe upon what the G world or the GNSO world is setting about doing. And so long as there's visibility and transparency in that, I think we'll go a long way. I certainly believe we have built comfort, and I know, Chuck, your comments about whether they'll accept that it's comfortable. I think we have put, you know, checks and balances in the process going forward. So hopefully we can use this paper to highlight some of those to maybe eradicate some of their fears. The other concern I have is that this paper, if I'm reading it correctly, says that we will not be slowed down by the CCNSO, and that if they're not ready with theirs, then that won't retard the GNSO progress. I think the same should be said in reverse. I'm not sure the paper necessarily spells that. Is that if they decide, for example, that they can do their country codes and each one gets one, and that, you know, as we know, the likelihood of that happening is minimal, if they do that before we're ready, I see no problem with that going forward. If there's a GNSO council position on that, I'd certainly like to hear it, but I can't see what's good for the goose shouldn't be good for the gander.
And keep in mind, with regard to GNSO position, like Avery said a couple times, we haven't got to a point where the full GNSO, or certainly not the full council, has come up with a position on a lot of these things.
Well, sir, I should have said viewpoint, Chuck.
What's that?
I should have said viewpoint is what I meant. A collective viewpoint rather than a position at this point in time.
Hopefully, the council will approve a position based on what we give them in this document, or, you know, quite a few positions in this. Aubrey, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing on the, you know, I think you're right about decent ganders in terms of, you know, who's ready. However, I do want to point out that at the moment, the only thing that keeps the GNSO from being ready is staff implementing the policies we've already made. So, in a sense, we're ready now, and we already had target dates of opening rounds in 6 months.
With all due respect, those implementation issues we have, that ICANN has, yes, we are ready as such, but I think it's not necessarily that the GNSO is ready. I think that the whole process needs to be ready, and those implementation questions don't have a lot of answers at this point in time, and I certainly see the implementation, I'm just saying let's not rule it out. If they can beat us, let them.
Yeah.
If they can beat ICANN.
And by the way, Adrian, just in that regard, in some of the edits that I made, I tried to deal with that in terms of it being a bi-directional type approach on this, and I think we'll do it. Now, I've only got 4 minutes before I have to be in another meeting that conflicts with this.
Jack, can I just make one more comment very quickly to finish off mine?
Yeah, quick, because I'd like to give a couple other people a chance to respond.
Sure, I understand. The word delegate isn't referenced very often in this entire document, and it concerns me that I know full well that the CCCLD manager is not necessarily, depending on the context you use, the delegate, nor is the government necessarily the delegate. I think we need to be careful of, if we're talking about those sort of contexts, that we include delegate in there as well, and understand what that means.
Okay. All right. And there are a few questions that they ask that deal with that. Does anybody else, Edmund, Olga, Avery, myself, Adrian have all commented there?
Bilal hasn't.
Bilal, do you have anything to add, Bilal?
No, Chuck.
Edmund?
I'm good for now.
Olaf?
Just an observation. I think it's very much that. I think we've identified sort of a core issue which we haven't really addressed in a comprehensive way in the paper, and that's the whole issue of the apportionment of namespace. And, well, that would affect a few different answers depending on our outcome on that. So maybe that's if we should concentrate on something that may be it in the first instance, to try to seek some agreement about just this apportionment of namespace and what we mean by that, and the two various approaches and how we address those that Avery brought up. Just a quick observation.
Thank you. Now, just the last two things before we before I adjourn this. What's a good milestone for all of us having put in our input into the document online? Is a week good? I mean, should we shoot for a week from today?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Anybody opposed to that?
Chuck, I should be able to get it done. I've just got a presentation in Saturday that I've got a lot of work to get to, but I should be able to get there.
Okay. Okay. And so,
are we generally going to meet on Monday morning?
No, that's
I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I move around a lot, so I'll get used to any time. But is this the time slot we want?
That's the other thing I want to cover before we adjourn here. What's the thinking? What's a good time for meeting? And now, I in particular would appreciate it's not at quite this early for me whenever we have these meetings, because I have to get up at 4:30 just to make sure I'm awake to lead the meeting. So I'd rather it be at least an hour later. But what is there a day of the week that is and a time is a 1 hour later than this a fairly good time generally, or
yes,
not?
For me, okay. Yes, for me it's better 1 hour late.
Okay.
For me, I'll be in a reasonable time zone for the rest of the month, so it's
okay.
Fine with me, yeah.
So, Chuck, go ahead, Adrian.
From December 17, I'm back in Australia, and an hour later would make it 2 a.m., so that's ugly.
Oh, well, that's okay, that's not good then, so.
But I think, when are you planning on the next call?
Well, that's the next thing. I think we're probably going to determine that based on our progress. Rather than try and set it right now, what I'm trying to do is get a general feel for days of the week, for calls and times. You just made a good point, so we may. I'm going to have to. I'll put some things on the list with regard to the. We may not even have a call before you're back in Australia, depending on our progress on the list. So we're going to have to deal with that 2 a.m. issue because that would be unacceptable. So we actually either have to go, I don't know, I'll play with that one. I don't think we're going to resolve that here.
I could take a hit if it meant that's not too bad. Well, if we can work that out sort of on the fly, that would be better, but I'm prepared to take a hit if it means everybody else is suited.
Yeah. Now, what about days of the week? Are there days that are really bad for people? Friday doesn't work very well, again, because of the Australian issue. But Monday through Thursday, are there any days that tend to be bad? No comments on that, okay?
Well, Thursdays, every other Thursday we hit it.
Yeah, and I'll be aware of the council meeting, so that's probably easy to manage. But I just wanted to find out whether there are any bad times. So how early in your day works for Australia, Adrian?
I think we normally do the council calls at like 7 or 8 in the morning. So I think Glenn's got a really good visibility on all this sort of stuff. She's probably the go-to person here.
Okay, good. So, Glenn, are you still on?
Yes, I am still on, Chuck.
If you can just send me, or you can even send it to the list, some proposed times. We don't need to set one up right now. But
okay.
So that we've thought that through in advance and we can kind of test it among one another, that would be a good idea.
Okay, I'll do
that. So our action items before the next, our action items, regardless of when our next teleconference meeting is, will be for each of us to provide input into the document do your best to do that by a week from today. And I need to jump off onto another call. I want to thank everybody for participating in this first call. I think we accomplished what we needed to so we can get moving.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.